us now. Do our hearts good together. Defeat the adversary of souls. Put the evil one to flight. And may all that is said and done bring glory and honor to the name of our Savior. For we ask these things in his most precious and worthy name. Amen. Let us turn together in the Word of God this evening to the New Testament, the book of the Acts and the chapter 9. The book of Acts and the chapter 9. We're going to move down that chapter and we're taking up a reading in the verse 26. Acts chapter 9 gives us, of course, the account of Saul of Tarsus being converted to Christ, and what a transformation in his life. And he became that chosen vessel. He became that servant for the Lord. And we're reading a little bit of the aftermath and after the apostle got saved and converted on the road to Damascus. And so Acts chapter 9, and it's the verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he is said to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Amen. We're just going to end there at the verse 31. May the Lord add his own blessing to this public reading from his own precious and infallible word. I just want to look with you this evening at the verse 31 and to a particular phrase that's found in verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. And just that little expression there towards the end of verse 31, where it speaks about the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And as I read this portion of Scripture this morning, that's the phrase that spoke to me. And I want to just leave a few thoughts centering upon this phrase of Scripture, the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, at this particular point in the book of the Acts, the church had just come through a time of severe persecution. But now, as you can see from the beginning there of verse 31, that the churches now had rest. They had come to this point of rest. And that's really the first time since the day of Pentecost that the church came to such a place where they now had rest. And the word rest there means peace and quiet. And in fact, the same word is translated that way in the Scripture. Sometimes it's the word rest, most times it's the word peace, and on an occasion it's the word quiet. And so you can understand something of what that word means. They have come to that period where they have peace and quiet and rest. May the storm that had been raging, the persecution that they had endured, all of the havoc that even Saul of Tarsus had wrought among the church, it's now over. And the storm has passed. And they've come to a period of rest. And this seems to have been a time when the church was able to consolidate It's a time whenever the church was able to flourish. It was a time whenever the church was able to make that progress. And just by looking at verse 31, you could select some of the words out of verse 31, and you could see the blessing that the churches were experiencing during this time of rest. You see the word edified. It's right there in the center of the verse. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And that word edified, it means to be built up. And it's the thought there of the building of a structure or the building of a house, but here it's the building of God's house, of God's church, of God's people. And so during the time of peace and quiet and rest, they're going to be built up. That word would also suggest a repairing and even a rebuilding, right from the foundation upwards. And so the church had opportunity here. The church were able to rebuild. The church were edified. And isn't that what the church needs today? Now you think even of the storm, and it hasn't fully passed, of this pandemic that has come, swept across the world, and it has had that effect upon the church as well. Times when we weren't able to even come together as we can come together tonight. But it's had an impact. It certainly had an effect upon the church. Well, as the storm hopefully is passing and we come to a time again of rest and back to some kind of normality, we would want to be edified. We want the church to be built. And there's that rebuilding job certainly that is required. And if you look at verse 31, you can see it goes on to say, and walking in the fear of the Lord. And when you think of the word walking, that word walking speaks of progress. It speaks of going forward. It speaks there of advancement. And so during the time of rest that the churches were experiencing, they were being edified, they were being built up, and they were making progress. They were going forward. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. And at the very end of the verse, you see the word multiplied. It's a time whenever the church was increasing. Souls were being saved. Souls were being added on to the church. It was here a flourishing church. All the healthy signs of growth are here in verse 31. Verse 31 is describing the church of Jesus Christ in blessing. The signs of life, the signs of progress, the signs of spiritual growth. But there's another word there in verse 31 that I want you to think about, and it's that word comfort. Comfort. It says that they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. As I pondered that particular phrase this morning, I asked myself the question, how do we know the comfort of the Holy Ghost? How does the Holy Ghost grant us this comfort? If they were walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, how did that take place? Let me suggest just a few ways very quickly. We can experience the comfort of the Holy Ghost by His work. And surely that is the work of the Holy Ghost. That's the whole ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And from the word comfort, you would know that the third person in the Trinity, the Holy Ghost Himself, that's one of His titles. He is called the Comforter. Perhaps many times we refer to those verses in John's Gospel. And in John chapter 14, There the Savior prays. And in verse 16 of that chapter, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." There's the title of the third person in the Trinity. He's the Comforter. And we as God's people can know what it is to walk in the comfort of the Comforter. You look at those verses in John 14. It tells us there at the end of that verse about the Comforter, that he may abide with you. He may abide with you forever. You look into verse 17 of that chapter. It says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And so the Comforter, he's abiding with us, and he's dwelling in us, and he's going to be with us. You look down John 14 to the verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And here in verse 26, he's the teacher. He's going to abide in you, going to dwell in you, going to be with you, going to teach you. Chapter 15 of John's Gospel and the verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." He shall testify of me. The Comforter is going to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when you come into John chapter 16, and you come down to the verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And here in John 16 and the verse 13, the Savior is showing us that the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, will guide us. And he will show us things. He's going to reveal things to us. Chapter 16 and the verse 14. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." And when you just think about those statements that the Savior has given to us about the Comforter, and he's explaining to us there the work of the Comforter, and he's going to abide with us and dwell with us and teach us and testify of Christ and guide us and show us things, and he's going to glorify the Savior. When you consider something of the work of the Comforter, surely that's a comfort to us tonight. This little phrase of Scripture says, walk in it. Walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I thought about Job's comforters. And in Job chapter 16 and the verse 2, here's what he said about his comforters. He said, "Miserable comforters are ye all." Miserable comforters. What a comfort the Holy Spirit of God brings to our hearts. It's the opposite of the miserable comforters. He's able to come and encourage our hearts and able to strengthen us with his comfort. Over in 2 Thessalonians and in the chapter 2 and the verse 16, we read again about this comfort. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and the verse 16, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Everlasting consolation. And the word consolation there is the same in the original as the word comfort. And so we can say the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God is an everlasting comfort. doesn't come and go. It's there all the time. It's an eternal comfort. Going over into Hebrews and that letter of the apostle to the Hebrews in chapter 6 and the verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And so here the apostle describes this comfort and this consolation as a strong consolation. And whenever we compare that to our situation at times, our situation can seem to us, humanly speaking, as something that is impossible. And impossible for us. But you know, the comfort and the consolation of the Lord is more than equal to our situation, because it's described as a strong consolation, a strong comfort. Therefore, when the early church here in our text of Scripture were able to walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, may that be our experience tonight through the work of the Spirit. But then secondly, not only can we experience this comfort by His work, but also by His Word, the Word of the Spirit. Remember that the book before us tonight is really the Word of the Holy Spirit. He's the author of this book. He's the giver of this book. It's the God-breathed Scriptures. We believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the Apostle Peter was able to tell us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how we had the Scriptures given. That's how the Word of God came into being. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So this word before us tonight is the word of the Spirit. He's the author of Scripture. And the word of the Spirit is that word that is able to light up our darkness. Whatever that darkness is, we get that word from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is able to apply that word to our hearts, and the darkness is dispelled through that word. The light of Scripture. Walk in the light of Scripture, and you'll walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And surely we would say tonight as God's people, there's nothing that dispels our darkness like a word from the Lord. Nothing that can light up our situation like a word from the Lord. And when the Lord gives us that word, we're to walk in that word. And as we walk in the light of Scripture that the Lord has given to us, we can know what it is to walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And remember what we learned there from the Gospel of John, that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, He's our guide, and He's going to testify of Christ, and He's going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever the Spirit takes the Word of God and applies that Word to our hearts, there will be a revelation of the Savior. Our eyes are opened, and we behold Him whom our soul loveth. We get a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I say a fresh revelation, but it's not a new revelation. There's no new revelation. The canon of Scripture is complete. And if you followed in the verses that I referred to in the Gospel of John, it says of the work of the Holy Spirit that He will bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So in other words, the Holy Spirit has given us the word, has spoken this word, and He will then call that word to our remembrance. So it's nothing new in that sense. There's no new truth, there's no new doctrine, but there is a recalling. There's a recalling and a remembering of that truth. As the Holy Spirit opens up the Scriptures to us and reveals something of the Lord Jesus Christ afresh to our hearts. And we're drawn away. We're drawn away from the things of time and sense. We're drawn away from the things of this old world. And we're drawn to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Walk in it. Walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And as we walk in the light of Scripture, which is the Word of the Spirit, that Word will have a sanctifying effect upon our hearts and upon our lives. We will begin to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, listed in Galatians 5 and 22. Romans 14 and the verse 17 would again give us something of the effect of the Word. Romans 14 and verse 17, it mentions here three things. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is there as the very author and giver of those things, righteousness, peace, and joy, and each one of them from the Holy Ghost. Righteousness in the Holy Ghost, peace in the Holy Ghost, joy in the Holy Ghost. Walk in it. Walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 1 and verse 9 speaks about being anointed with the oil of gladness. And if we know what it is to walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, we'll know something of that anointing. That anointing of the oil of gladness as the Lord blesses His Word to our hearts. And so how do we walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost? It's by His work, and it's by His Word. But then thirdly, we say it's by His witness. If you were just to look over with me in the Word of God to Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans and to the chapter 8, and we looked certainly in this chapter in recent weeks, we looked at the first verse of this chapter, no condemnation. And it refers to walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And as you would come on down this particular chapter to the verse 16, here's the witness of the Spirit. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The witness of the Spirit. Whenever I spoke in this chapter a couple of weeks ago, I said it was the chapter of chapters. Said it was perhaps one of the greatest chapters in the whole of Scripture. It's certainly one of the most precious chapters in the whole of Scripture. Well, when I was looking at this verse today, I looked up Martin Lloyd-Jones and his commentary there on Paul's letter to the Romans. And here's what he said about this verse 16. He said, this is beyond any question one of the most glorious statements concerning the Christian experience found anywhere in the Bible from beginning to end. One of the most glorious statements. Well, if it's one of the most glorious chapters, and here's one of the most glorious statements in that chapter, we would need to know what it's referring to. The witness of the Spirit. Speaking to us here about the assurance of salvation. God's Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. To know that we're saved. And surely there is no greater blessing, there's no greater comfort to the heart of any individual than knowing that. Knowing that you're saved. And this verse, Romans 8 and verse 16, speaking about that assurance as an absolute certainty that you can be saved and you can know for sure that you're saved. It's not speaking here about a deepening experience. No, it's speaking about a fact. And it's speaking about a reality that the believer can know for sure. There's an absolute certainty. There's an assurance of salvation. That's by the witness of the Spirit. God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. John would say in his epistle in 1 John 5 and the verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that ye may know," that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Not that you think you have eternal life, not that you hope for the best you have eternal life, but that ye may know the assurance of salvation. That comes through the witness of the Spirit. What a comfort that is. No matter what else is happening, that's something that we ought to draw comfort from every day, to thank God that we're saved. The Roman Catholic Church don't believe in any doctrine of assurance. The Roman Catholic Church would teach that you cannot be sure. You see, that leaves the soul in the hands of the church. Worse still, that leaves the soul in the hands of the priests of Rome. But one of the great truths that was rediscovered at the Protestant Reformation was that you can know, you can be sure. The assurance of salvation that was rediscovered by men like Martin Luther. That stands in great contrast. That's the distinction between Protestantism and Romanism. You can know you're saved. And tonight I encourage you as God's people, walk in that truth. And you'll walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And when the trouble comes, and trouble will come, and when sorrow strikes, and sorrow will strike, and when the devil assaults, and the devil will assault, the adversary will come, when doubts arise, and doubts will arise, dwell on this truth. We're the sons and daughters of the Almighty. We have been adopted into His family. And God's Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Romans 8 will go on to show that there's something that accompanies that. Whenever you have that assurance of salvation, there's something that really follows on from that, and it's a calling upon the Lord. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry to the Lord. There's comfort in that, entering into that fellowship and that communion with the Lord. I trust that as we think on this little phrase of Scripture tonight, that each one of us will know what it is to walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. We're going to sing another hymn at this point together. And it is the hymn 313 from our hymn book. The first verse, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." We'll stand again as we sing. Amen. We're going to get to our season of prayer tonight. And I just want to thank each one for joining with us and coming along to our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. And as we come to prayer tonight, I'm going to ask our brother, Mr. Robert Murphy, if he would lead us off in prayer, and then perhaps the Reverend Paul Hanna could also lead us, and let's have a number of others to pray as the time slips away so quickly. We come tonight with thanksgiving to the Lord, thinking of the Lord's day that has passed with our children and with the young people, and do continue to remember them at the throne of heavenly grace. This coming Lord's Day, we have the special service to mark the centenary of Northern Ireland, and I'm sure you may have heard on the radio or television news about the first ever parliament that was set up by King George V 100 years ago today. And so it's very timely that we would come on the Lord's Day by way of marking the occasion and giving thanks to the Lord for his goodness to us as a country. Remember Dr. Johnson as he comes. Then also in the evening time, Mr. Johnny Whiteside will be coming to give a word of testimony. Pray for those that have been unwell, and a number have been going through treatments and procedures, and we want to continue remembering them at the throne of grace. And our brother, Mr. David Williamson, our clerk of session, he did go through the eye procedure, and he's doing well, and they're hoping that that will be successful and will help to improve his vision. Do also remember others who are laid aside and shut in at this time, and also bereavements. Mr. Andrew Patterson lost his grandmother today, and do please remember Andrew and his family circle at this time. Also, my wife lost an aunt just today as well, and that funeral service is going to be later in the week, and they've asked me if I would conduct that funeral service, so I would appreciate your prayers as we do officiate at that funeral. Pray for our missionaries as well. It's very trying times for them with COVID. It was slow initially to spread across the African nations, but in certain African countries it seems now to be taking hold, and some of them on our missionary stations are in lockdown, and do pray that the Lord's hand of protection will be upon them. Also for Let the Bible Speak, remember that work, and also the prison ministry. The prison ministry has restarted again. I was able to get in twice in the past month to the services there, and we have something of a captive congregation, and they are very attentive to the Word of God, and pray that that seed will find a resting place within their hearts. We'll ask the two brethren to lead us, and we'll say good night to those that have joined us online this evening. Thank you.